feel like a lot of people get a bit anxious about that because it's not formal. Like, there's no list of questions. We could talk about whatever we want.
Which is good, ultimately.
Welcome to the Yelling at Concrete podcast.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
As we've kind of alluded to, it's the weekend today. So, but your weekend doesn't exist.
I mean, to be honest, it kind of does, but you have to kind of make the effort to have to take time off, like when you're working for yourself. So it doesn't come naturally, and I kind of miss being, that Friday feeling you like most people usually get. I don't get that anymore, which is quite sad. So I just think, like, if I wanted to take some time off, I could do it, like, well, I work 2 days a week. I work in an office at the moment, temping, just to so I can pay the bills, pay the rent, and yeah. So I guess my Friday is kind of on a Tuesday. Then I can do my art for the rest of the week, which is quite nice. But yeah, so my week's all, my day's all messed up at the moment. It's kind of weird, but yeah. So I was working today.
I always compared to being self-employed, kind of like being unemployed, where weekends just lose all meaning. But you still, like when you're unemployed, you're still worried about money and still worried about everything. But weekends just don't mean anything.
It's really weird. I mean, the good thing is like I love the flexibility of it. Like, especially living in London, if there's something I wanted to do, like go to a museum or gallery, to avoid all of the kids and like the busyness of it, which is like super busy, like most days, especially the weekends, I can just like take an afternoon off during the week, rather than going the weekends. But yeah, but then you kind of have to be disciplined as well, because you have to get the work done. So I'm a nightmare in the summer. Like when it's sunny out, like I get massive FOMO, and I just think, like, I just want to sit outside in the garden, and I'll just take a day trip to the beach. But like, yeah, you have to really be disciplined during the summer, self-employed. It's hard. So
That leads us to our first question, and I also didn't realize that you were based in London. I knew you were in the UK, but I didn't know whereabouts in the UK. But my first question, and the only formalized one I have, is essentially, who are you?
As a person or as an artist or both? Or...
That's the question, right?
Oh, okay. So I. Oh, where shall I start? So I've always been creative. So I'm a creative person. I went to art college, and I just didn't know what I excelled in after art college. And I never went to uni or anything, but I knew I was creative. I just didn't know what in. I didn't know what I really enjoyed. So I kind of left art college, went from admin job to admin job. So I'm 39 now, and I think it all started during COVID, when I was on furlough from my normal admin office job. And I just thought, oh, I'd buy a bag of clay. And lots of people were like taking up hobbies during, like when they were like, there's like nothing else to do, so people taking up hobbies and doing arty stuff. So I just bought a bag of clay, the air dry clay stuff. I don't know if you've ever worked with, I know you do sculptures yourself. Have you ever worked with air dry?
I have. I found it. Well, so was it the paper clay stuff you bought or the other stuff?
I think paper clay is slightly different. I do, so it's basically exactly, it's got the same texture as just like the normal kiln clay, but you just leave it to dry for a few days, and yeah, so you don't need a kiln for it and all the expensive glaze and stuff. You can just paint it with acrylic paint. Is that, I'm not sure if that's the same as paper clay. I think it's slightly different.
Paper clay interested me because it is paper. It's essentially a clay made of paper, but you have to have, it's really wet as a medium. It's incredibly, because you have to add so much moisture to it to make it malleable in any way, shape, or form. So I worked a lot with that, and I've worked a lot with, well, I say a lot, mostly with sculpey stuff. So like the poly clay, but I haven't done proper air dry clay. I guess I
Oh, I
should try.
love, the Fimo clay, like Sculpey is amazing. I'll get on to that because I did discover that further down the line. But yeah, so the air dry clay, I think, is completely different to the paper stuff. But it's great. It feels like the real stuff. So I just bought a bag of dirt, and my very first pot, I'm basically, my mindset was, I'm just going to make something super offensive just because, just for the lulls, really. Just, I just love
Your
people's
first
reactions. You
thought.
know that? Yeah. You know, you just really shock people just to see the reaction. And I've always found that so entertaining. So I don't know why. I think it's because a friend sent a clip to me, and a week before, a dodgy one from something like from Pornhub or something. He's always sent to me like weird stuff. And so my first pot was of an anal prolapse, as you do. And because it wasn't as advanced as, like, this is my first sculpture, it's quite a simple form to do that. It's kind of like, I'm not sure if you've seen my pot of it. So it's very simple, but it's quite offensive. And to be honest, it kind of turned out a lot better than I thought it had. You know, when you kind of make something and you kind of shock yourself and you're like, oh, that's actually quite good. And it's my first one. And I had no idea, and I've just really enjoyed it. And so I made a couple of them, and I put it onto a Facebook art group that was, I think it was called Girls That Make Stuff on Facebook. And just expecting some shocked reactions. But I was so surprised. I had hundreds of likes. People were asking me where they can buy it, like, it's the best thing I've ever seen. And it just totally blew my mind. Like, I was not expecting that reaction at all. And so from then, it was just literally like everything changed. It was like one of those light bulb moments, like, okay, I'm gonna start selling on my Etsy, why not? And I made an Instagram account, and yeah, and so it kind of all blew up from then. And I then quit my job after about a year, because I was getting quite a few orders. But during lockdown, everyone was just buying so much stuff, said all this disposable cash. So when I quit my job, I was making a lot of money. And then lockdown stopped, and then I started to realize, like, okay, sales are slowing down, people will get back to normal. And that's when the reality hit, and I was like, okay, I might need to get an extra job to help pay the bills and stuff. But yeah, it's been absolutely amazing, and I've loved every second of it. And yeah, and then I discovered Sculpey, polymer clay, and you can make like magnets out of it and other sculptures which are more robust, and earrings. So yeah, and that's where I am now. That's who I am.
Journey.
So.
I had the thought today when I was kind of preparing for this was that I'd only learned your actual name
Oh, yeah.
like really recently. Because
Okay, yeah.
to me, you're always just WTF Pots. And I was like, that's the name. And I had this like the thought of I know a lot of people by their social media names rather than their
Yeah.
physical, like in-person names or even their artist like name. It's always just by their username. And I was like, oh,
Yeah.
I wonder. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get called other names as well. I get called the anal prolapse lady or the dick lady. It's just like I get called other things, which is quite funny. It makes me laugh. But yeah, I don't know. I just find to use my actual name, I think it's quite nice to not use my name, because I think, because I mean, I take my art obviously seriously, but it's kind of not serious also, if that makes sense. And a lot of artists who just go by their names, I always find that their work's like fine art kind of stuff. And in my experience, I could be wrong, but like, I don't know, it just kind of but because mine's a bit silly and also a bit risque, I quite like the idea of WTF pots. But I don't do a lot of pots. I mean, I still do pots obviously, but I've moved on to kind of like sculptures a lot now. So I'm kind of worried, like, should I keep it as WTF pots even though it's not what it actually is? I do, but I make bears now. I don't know if that matters, does it?
Do you consider your work fine art then?
Pardon, sorry.
Do you not consider your work fine art?
Don't know. I mean, I've got imposter syndrome, to be honest. Like, I think it's because I'm self-taught.
Right.
You know, I went to college, but I didn't go to uni, and you know, I've only been doing this for like, what is it, like nearly 4 years now. I just kind of, I don't know. Sometimes I
Only
still
nearly
find
4 years.
it, yeah.
Only 4 years.
Yeah, but I still find it kind of like, I find it strange to call myself an artist now. Like when people say, like, what do you do for a living? Like, I just find it really weird and surreal still sometimes. I don't know why. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's fine art.
mean,
Oh,
I
I mean, I get
consider
a lot
your
of
work
people
fine
saying
art.
it's not. Sorry.
I consider your work fine art
Oh, thank
from the
you.
point of view of finding it. When I saw it, I saw it and thought, this is interesting. I didn't see the prolapse first. I can't remember which of your pieces I saw
Yeah.
first. But I stumbled across you on Instagram and was like, oh, this is interesting. And I saw it from the straight out as just as a kind of like a, this is art. This is an art piece because you're making it with a conceptual value. So
Yeah.
therefore, it's fine art.
Yeah, no, yeah, true, true. I mean, I do get a lot of people telling me like my work's not art online, and they're like, that's disgusting, this is not art, which I find funny because, you know, art is so subjective, it's like whatever. But yeah, I guess so. I think I'm just still trying to get my mind around what it is I actually do. Like, I'm nearly 40 and I'm making like little penises and prolapses. And it's just like, you know, when you have that existential crisis sometimes, it's like, what am I doing with my head? But yeah, it's, yeah, I
See,
guess
I tend to have that in my regular job. Like when I'm drawing a potato or making a bug, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. This is what I should be doing. And then I sit at my desk and I'm like, really? I'm like, this is what I'm doing?
But you know, I've never been. I think it's really liber. It feels really liberating when you feel like you can just go against societal norms. It's like, I mean, to be honest, it's like there's nothing that like there's nothing there's no part of my life that kind of fits into what society. It's what I should be doing, basically. It's like I'm 39, single. I don't want kids. Like, can't stand kids. So like I'm never I think I might have used to when I was younger. I think, oh yeah, because that's just what we're meant to do. And to get older, have a house and kids, you know. You know, I'm still renting. Like, there's no way I can see myself getting a mortgage in the near future, especially. So and yeah, and I don't I think I don't worry about the future. I probably should worry about the future more. I'm just too present, if that makes sense. I know people struggle to be present. And they start worrying about other things, but I feel like I should probably worry more. I don't have a pension or anything. It's just like maybe I should stop being a more of a responsible adult and start thinking about things. But then the other part of me is like, sod it, like you only live once and just do what you want to do and don't care what anyone else thinks.
Also think kind of generationally, I think that whole idea of it has changed completely because I mean a lot of our kind of generation we don't I always say we don't see a future because we just expect there not to be one at some point. Like we look at the world and we kind of think, well, everything is terrible, so the likelihood of me hitting 60 is slim.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Because there's like so much doom and gloom out there, and it's just like if it's not climate crisis, it's not gonna kill us. Like climate change, it's going to be like some kind of war. We're going to get nuked or something. So, I mean, to be honest, I think with everything like that happening, it does actually make me feel like sod it. Like, just let's just have fun. Have fun in life. If I'm on my deathbed, I'll be happy to go if I just know I've just had loads of fun. That's literally it. There's nothing I want to like specifically achieve. No, when people have life goals, I just want to have as much fun as I possibly can whilst I'm here and enjoy it, and that's what I'm doing. So
Best way to do
it's all
it.
good.
That's the best way to approach it as well. I think that's that kind of shines through in the work you make, I think,
Yeah.
is that you do have a tongue in cheek like aspect to it. And I think that shines through. And I think that's why a lot of people probably first off relate to it.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. It's like I get asked a lot, what does my art mean? Like what's the meaning behind this piece? And it's just like I don't know, I mean my first book, the reasons behind me making my original piece is just to get a reaction, and it's still there. I mean, but accidentally, I think over time it's kind of evolved somewhat. Like, for example, when I make the genitals of female genitals, the labia and the vagina, and I make the labia like kind of extra long. Just I made it really long once. I made them really, really long, and it just blew up on the internet, and people were like kind of fighting back and forth in the comment section, and a woman was like, "This is beautiful," and then there's like other guys, and then there's men saying that's disgusting, and then they're kind of like having this argument back and forth, and then it made me realize, like, you know what, I can actually do something with my art, and like in a way of representing all different forms and everything's normal kind of thing. So I did actually have a few messages from women saying like thank you, and they feel seen and represented, which is actually really nice. And it kind of made me think like, yeah, I can do something more with it rather than just shocking everyone. So yeah, every now and then I do like to try to make my art representative of like different body shapes. And I usually it's really funny because whenever I do a penis with the foreskin intact, the Americans because everyone in America is like most but most people in America are like probably circumcised, is that right? I'm guessing, yeah. They're kind of shocked and they're like, what is this? Some people find like they've been called anteaters, which is kind of weird because maybe because of the long kind of bagginess. Yeah. You've seen my sculptures, you know what I'm talking about. So because I kind of exaggerate it, I just find it funny. But when I get that reaction from them, I kind of play on it and I kind of like to do it more because it's just quite entertaining.
It's interesting. So the thought I had kind of when I was like pre-planning this and having a little think through the topic of your work and how you kind of advertise it online is that you're up against that barrier, which is you wanted to make something jarring and something, you know, something which would get a reaction, which is always the initial intent of anyone who kind of makes art. Whether we say it or not, we have an ego that we're like, we want to make something that gets looked at, like jarring. But you're kind of fighting that wall, which is the internet, at the same time. And I think that's because it's interesting because I almost feel like your work prior to the internet would have struggled
Oh,
because
yeah.
it's made for the internet. It's made for like memeability and the one shot hits, which we've come to like know and love on the internet, and that's why we love it. It makes us funny, and we go into our phones to escape whatever's out there, and we're like, this should shock me out, whatever's going on out there, which is what art is as well. But at the same time, you're like, but the internet's not really made for that anymore. Like,
Yeah, it's a really tricky one because yeah, you're completely right. Because the things that people share on the internet, the posts that people share are either shocking or funny, or it causes like a reaction. And like so, oh God, so I've had my Instagram for like nearly 4 years, and I've had a lot of people, and it's got like 15,000 followers, and a lot of people ask, how did you get so many followers? And because it's the style of my work, because it's so outrageous and shocking, it just gets shared so many times. So that makes my job easier to try to get more attention, new followers and stuff. But at the same time, it is a bit of a struggle because the major social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, even Reddit as well sometimes, they don't allow, well, I say they don't allow, they do allow nude art because it's in their I mean, it's their own rules they make. They said nude art is allowed, yet their bots can't detect it well enough. And I've got to be so careful. There's many times I've been like thrown into Facebook jail and or banned, and I've heard loads of horror stories where people's accounts being banned like permanently because of it, even though it's still art and it is allowed. But it's annoying because the bots, they will pick up the nude art, and of course you do need robots. You can't have all these like millions of actual humans like going around like censoring it all and checking. But at the same time, when you contest it, there should be some like an actual human checking it maybe to know that, because robots aren't going to be right all the time. But that's not the case either. So the amount of times I have been banned, it's a worry. So it is a struggle. And even though I do censor them, I've started to pixelate like the rude parts now. It still gets pulled up every now and then. And certain hashtags I don't use anymore, which I've learned along the way. And I don't even comment. It's a shame because I don't even comment on people's posts anymore, because I once, so I made a pot with, it was kind of like heartedly taking the mickey out of men on dating apps, and I made a pot of a guy holding a fish when it was going through that period of men like having pictures with fishes for some reason. Someone commented on it, and all I said was, oh yeah, men are weird. And then it got flagged up for hate speech, and then I got banned for a few days. And then what comes with the ban is a shadow ban, so your work is then not seen by loads of people. which is obviously, as a business trying to promote yourself, is like the worst thing that can happen. So now I just, it's a shame because I'd like to engage with the commenters more about my work, but I'm so worried now and it's just not worth it. So now I'm just kind of like commenting, like, thank you. Like when people are like saying nice stuff, I'm saying thank you. And I'm really, really kind of filtering out what I say. I can't have proper conversations with anymore because it's just not worth it in case something's flagged.
You are the most notorious artist I've had on the podcast, probably, in terms of your
Oh,
bands and
wow. Oh,
like
thanks.
no, I guess not in case of like actual criminal convictions, but if I was like to ask the people who come on, like, how many times have you been banned on various social media? I feel like most would say maybe once, but
Well, I'll
given
say banned.
notoriety.
Well, I'll say banned, but it's like for a few days. So you get, I'm
Yes.
not sure if you know about how the ban system works. Like,
I mean, the
so.
closest I've come to it is I think I got banned from commenting at one point, but it was
Oh.
just like a temporary ban of like, you've been posting very similar comments and you can no longer post anymore. And
Yeah.
all I'd been doing was saying thank you. This
Yeah,
is like, but they thought
like
I was a
even.
bot. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I used to do that. I've learned, like, I feel like everyone learns the hard way to do this. There's no kind of like, here's what you should and shouldn't do to avoid getting banned. You just kind of learn it yourself. And yeah, I was going around saying thanks, or like I was just like copy and pasting it because I was at one post I was getting so many comments. Like, and I wanted to reply to everyone. It also helps the algorithm if you do reply to the comments as well. So, you know, I kind of wanted to do that as well. But yeah, it pulled me up for spam. And but there's loads of things it can pull you up on, just like saying men are weird. But I was kind of saying it in a light-hearted way. And it's like hate speech, really. Some of the stuff that I've seen on social media is awful. Like some of the things, yeah, like, you know, just saying something as silly as that, I get pulled up. So yeah, you're right. It's frustrating. But yeah, so the ban system works. So you get banned for like 3 days, and then the next one's like a week, and the next one's 2 weeks, and then you're on like a warning, and then your whole account could just get banned. So that's why yeah, I just stopped doing it now. So now I kind of only really use social media for my art stuff, rather than just like arguing back with people of certain subjects or anything. So I just use it for that now. It's a shame though. I'd like to engage with people more, to be honest, but I'm just too scared.
Yeah,
A
that's kind of it's a shame because
shame.
as well, like, I guess from my point of view, art's always been a good way of communicating,
Yeah.
and it's always been a, you know, the way of discussing conversations, even if it's just like making something and someone responds and then you have a chat, and that's always been a nice thing to have. So I guess when you get to your size of account, you do have to take that more into account, and
Yeah,
that's a
absolutely.
shame.
And yeah, like, it's, to be honest, it's the best thing about what I do, meeting like-minded people across the world. Like, I just engaging with people, especially if they like my art. They're like, oh, I feel like because my art is quite niche, it's like the people who enjoy it, they're probably just other people that I'd probably enjoy as a person as well. So I love interacting with them. So yeah, it's yeah, but like it is a massive, massive shame. And I joined a Instagram group on Reddit, like a subreddit, just to see what's going on, words of the street, see if anyone's got any tips and stuff. And so many people are experiencing the same thing, and so many people are so scared of commenting now that all that's like on some posts, all that the only people who do comment aren't people, they're actually spam. So it's quite like ironic. It's like the type of people like who they don't want on there are the people that's left because everyone else, all the actual humans are too scared of being pulled up because of them thinking that they're spams, which is like ridiculous. But
Kind of bots
yeah.
on bots on bots situation. That's
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's frustrating because like we can't I don't want to have to rely on Meta, to be honest, but I kind of do because, you know, until another platform comes up for artists or just less censoring, like this is all we have.
is. It's a strange thing as well. Like I guess the thing for us, I guess, from our generation point, is that we saw social media before there was this level of moderation. Like we remember social media when it started, and people would literally post anything, and you could get away with anything. And there was no way to take down a lot of that content because they hadn't thought about it. And whereas like you're saying, with people who come onto it now and are part of a younger generation and a part of young artists, they're very aware of it before they even start. And they're aware of what they can and can't post. I recently followed someone who does double exposures. So they take inanimate objects and then the rest is a body, and most of them are nudes, but their entire Instagram was already censored. Like they'd already censored up all the images. They didn't post anything like that, and they'd never had any issues with it.
Oh,
I was like, this
wow.
is interesting because I wouldn't have thought to do that from the beginning. I'd just been like, post the piece. The piece is good. You're allowed art nudes. Great. Whereas they'd already thought of it through, and I was like, this is, it's a strange world.
I was thinking that the other day, though. I mean, I regularly think this because, you know, like just like teenagers and young people, the way they kind of speak to each other, even because you're talking about art, like sensory art, but you know, like, it's quite, you know, the way they just talk, you know, like, oh yeah, like your mum jokes, or like just like joking around offensively. How are there any teenagers left on there? If I get pulled up for saying men are weird, then like, you know, like just like the way they kind of, it's like they cuss each other down, or the way they just talk. Yeah, it just kind of blows my mind a little bit because, you know, when I was a teen, I wasn't thinking about censoring stuff. You just kind of spoke what, you know, your brain's not like an adult. And there's talk in this country at the moment in the UK about making social media to be the banning under 16s from it. There is talk about that. I don't know if it will happen. I mean, who knows? I'll probably lose too much money. Probably, I don't know if it can happen, or how they'll monitor it. But I think that'd be a great idea. I mean, for me, for selfish reasons, because I reckon they might relax the nude art thing. But I don't
I
know.
think
It's
it's interesting because I think, I guess from kind of my view, there's no real difference now between online media and TV, right?
okay, yeah.
It has the same level of censorship. Like television is very prescribed. It's very, you can do this and you can't do this on television. Social media now is basically the same because it's business run. It's what you can and you can't do. But with TV, we've created spaces for adult content. We're like, I
Yeah,
mean, the UK,
after
you
nine
have the 9 o'clock
o'clock.
wash up,
Yeah.
all that kind of stuff. And then you have like channels which are specifically adult, but we haven't developed that for social media. And I'm wondering if there's a timeline where that is just going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. That'd be great. Like, just like a safe space of where we can post our adult stuff. But I thought I was safe in art groups because there are groups and it does say like 18 plus. Yeah. The bots still will pull us up like automatically if we do. So isn't so they're still entering the group. So it's not even like a safe, because that could have been one way around it, certain groups and where you can post freely your stuff. But yeah, you'll still get pulled up. That's an interesting concept though. Yeah, it's strange. I mean, in the UK, I mean, I don't know about in America, but I know you guys are more strict with, you can't show a nipple, can you?
Oh,
Or is that not
I
the
have.
case in certain states?
Oh no, it's most of the U.S. So I had an interesting experience after shortly after I moved here. I was watching kind of like terrestrial TV or cable TV or whatever you want to call it, and I was watching The Reanimator. If you know that film, I don't know if you know that film. It's a film about mad scientist who brings people back to from the dead. It's really gory. It's really like in your face. It's very 80s cringe horror.
Sounds
And they
good.
were showing all this violence. Everything was fine. And there was a shot of a topless woman on a bed, and they blurred her chest. And I was just like, 2 scenes ago, I saw someone decapitate.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane, isn't it? It's like, I don't understand. I just don't get it. And also, just like, I mean, the whole debate like online about like the male and the female nipple, like what's the difference? And it's
It's a strange.
yeah, it's really strange. And plus, surely like violence will influence more people more than just like the normal naked body. It's like a lot of people call my stuff porn, or soft porn, when is that, I mean, which is kind of mad to me because I don't understand. It was like if like my images were doing like performing like an act or something, but it's literally just the human body. Like, and if you're seeing that as porn, then that probably says more about you, or I don't know. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, it's the world's gone mad, hasn't it? It's just
I
I don't
recall a few years
understand.
ago, I think it was, I say a few years ago, this was probably a decade ago, because I always say a few years ago and it's never that close. Time's just jumped forward. I remember the government in the UK tried to change kind of what you could show in pornography. Or they banned something like, I think it was something like squirting or something like that, the way they'd just gone, no, that's no longer allowed. It's no longer a thing. And everyone in the porn industry was like, what? Like, you realize that's just a thing, right? That's not something. I mean, obviously there's a sensationalism of it in media, but you're trying to ban that. And I think there's a level of that with social media where it's like you say, anything nudity based is now classified as porn. And there's no nuance to it in any way, shape, or form.
I think it just doesn't make sense to me. And also it's like, I guess it's how I mean, another thing that I come across quite regularly is when my I say trigger, because that's what the person called it. It triggers them and they want to ban it, or they want to like, or they'll report my art because they don't like it or it upsets them personally. I made a pot, a baby coming out of a vagina, so it's like giving birth, and that caused absolute outrage, more than I realized it would. And I had a woman message me saying she's just lost her baby during childbirth, and my pot triggered her. And like, I didn't know how to respond to that. I mean, I messaged her back, so I'm really sorry to hear that. But like, I mean, there was like one person. And also, like, I had another woman, she asked me if I've ever given birth myself, and I was like, no. And then she said, accused me of cashing in on other women's traumas. And then it got posted to a feminist group, Feminists of Nottingham. And then I just saw all this outrage of women like coming after me, and some were like finding out who I was, messaging me personally, my DM, saying, like just this, all these messages saying I was like cashing in on trauma from other women. But I guess that's art though, right? Can't you see, you view art in different ways, and some people don't like it. But I think it's the fact if you don't like something, they want it kind of noble, it affects them personally, so you can't show it to anyone, and no one else can see it, which is kind of, see, that blows my mind as well. It's kind of crazy. Like, I wouldn't walk into an art gallery to tell someone specifically that I hate a painting on their wall. And like, don't get me wrong, I put stuff out there to, to upset, to bring joy, to whatever, to cause a reaction basically, which is great. But for people to be so outraged by something that they want me to remove it's just, that kind of blows my mind a bit as well. But it's like that, the entitlement of it's just, I do
It's
come
a
across
strange
that.
thing, which I think is definitely very much online. Like you mentioned there, kind of the idea of if you were walking along the street and someone had a space, you wouldn't know something was in there because the artwork isn't made for you specifically. Nobody sat there going, this painting I've made for Sarah, it's going to piss her off. I know it's going to piss her off, so I'm going to put it here so she's going to see it. No one's making artwork with that intent. But when it comes to online stuff, people expect their feed to be curated to them, forgetting that it's just the internet. It's just everything. It's if you
I mean,
stumble across it, you might not like it, but there's not much you can do about it.
but then again, you say that, but yeah, in a way, the algorithm is meant to just show you stuff for them, I guess, because that's what algorithms are meant to do. So it's almost as if like, oh, they're seeing lots of things that they do like, and all of a sudden one of my things pop up. So that's probably what enrages them like even more, because I like everything, but I don't like this, so I'm going to tell her. And, but
It's the
yeah,
thing as well, so
it's interesting.
there's the anonymity of it all as well. Like if they saw your work in public and they stumbled across it, they wouldn't have a direct line to you, right? If your work was in a gallery, they'd see it and go, I don't like that. Move on. Go look at some sunflowers somewhere, and then move on. Whereas because they know it's you and they know it's a direct outlet, they're like, well, I can take this opportunity to have my two cents.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
Feel
which is
better about
fine. Like I
something.
said, like, I don't mind. I've got such a thick skin to be, I mean, I can't do what I'm doing without one. So like I really, really don't mind like you're upset. I do get actually quite funny, like how outraged people can be. It's nothing, because I don't have that emotion when I look at things myself. So it kind of amuses me how other people get so annoyed by an image they see. But yeah, I do find it amusing when people try to psychoanalyze me as well. They're like, a lot of people are like, oh, so what happened to you as a child? Like, have you ever been sexually abused? Because of my genitals and stuff like that. And it's just, well, everyone, because it's the internet, everyone thinks they're like a professional therapist now, don't they? They might have seen a podcast about it, and then they start like analyzing people and be like, oh yeah, she must have PTSD or something based on her art. But yeah, it's just it is amusing. And to be honest, I think that's one of the reasons I do this. It's just great entertainment for myself and for other people. I do love the idea of like other people having fun with my art as well. But like even the good, the bad, and everything else, it's all good fun. But yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, it's interesting how it's evolved nowadays on the internet. But yeah, sorry, I've digressed. I can't remember what the
I
original
mean,
was.
that's what we're here to do.
Off and on. Yeah.
We go
Well,
where the conversation takes us.
yeah.
It's there's a strange balance to it, I think, as you're saying, of what you're posting and remembering that things are kind of, everywhere and worldwide. Like there's work which I've made, and then like episodes I recorded when I've done solo podcasts where I've decided just not to post it
Okay,
because
yeah.
dealing with whatever could happen and someone misinterpreting it, I don't want to get misinterpreted. So I've rewritten it and I've gone back through and I've changed the idea because you're having to put so many steps into it. And I think that's all part of being an artist. And I think that's what people forget. Like when they see your work, they're assuming that you had an idea, didn't consider what reaction to it would be, and you just put it out in order to offend, essentially, rather than what
Yeah.
probably happens in your head at like lightning speed because you're an artist is had this idea. Yep, that's good. We'll go with that because you've already run through the scenarios which would happen based on it and realized that, the quality of having the conversation is worth the abuse you might get from it.
Yeah, no, to be honest, more than the people, I do feel like a lot of my art is probably quite swayed by I don't want to get banned, so I have to tone it down a bit. I mean, it used to be the people, but I mean the algorithms have changed so much, like even like Instagram over the years. And so where it used to be like really risque, I've made some like really strange stuff. I think naturally I've kind of every now and then I do post a penis or something kinky, but I think that fear is always there. And also people can report your posts as well. So if I do cause outrage, it's just like, is it worth it? I used to post in just like basic mainstream art groups, but now I've kind of swayed towards more. Well, I've been chucked out quite a few art groups on Facebook now, to be honest. So now I just kind of go towards like the weird art groups and dark art and stuff like that, like groups specifically for my art, because as much as it does entertain me, it can be quite stressful, especially when people are like DMing you like abuse. It's not, actually, this is not what I signed up for. This is not why I do this. So yeah, as much as I do like the shocked reactions, people go too far and are a little bit batshit. You don't want to have to deal with that. So, but I would like to, it's on my bucket list for this year. I would love to do an actual real life, have a stall somewhere. We've got like I think there's a market called the Satanic Flea Market in London, and they do like kind of alternative art and dark art. And I'd love to try to make a stall there and just to see people's reactions in real life and talk to people and about it. I think that'd be absolutely amazing. Have you ever done like anything like that yourself in person, like a galleries or anything like that, and been
So
there?
I've done a couple bits with actually I did a couple down in London. There was an exhibition a friend of mine put on in the St. Pancras more like crypt gallery, which
Okay.
is for anyone who doesn't know, near St. Pancras Station, but it's underneath an old church and had some of my stuff in there. But otherwise, yeah, I've not done too many exhibits. I used to back when I was self-employed back in 20 years ago or whatever it was, as time has
Yeah.
disappeared again. I used to do kind of t-shirt stalls and stuff like that, where I'd sell my illustrations and sell t-shirts
Cool.
and all those kinds of things. And like you say, it's always interesting to kind of get the reaction, because I do craft fairs,
Okay, yeah.
where it'd be like very, very mainstream, very, generic, of like, there'd be someone selling soaps, someone who makes, candles, someone who does bead work or whatever. And I'd be there with a stand of, black t-shirts and surreal illustrations, and just like, this is me in between everyone else. And the audience I'm getting is probably not the audience who are going to buy any of my work, but they may stop and look at it.
Did you get any, like, I mean, were the reactions good though, or were they actually not interested?
It was kind of always mixed. I always enjoyed when you'd get a couple of people, because I do zine fairs now, where I take my work as well, and that's very alternative, very counterculture. So the audience is the people who will buy. But I always enjoyed it when you had a pair of people or a family come along, and watching the different reactions within a family, of a mum would pick one up and she'd look, she'd be like, "No, I don't like this," and that would be the reaction I'd get, because they want to be very polite. They don't want to be, too offensive. Whereas their kids just staring at it and like engaging with it. And I'm like, this is the audience, right?
Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a part of me that'd love to just end, like, just to set up a store in a mainstream market, just to see the shocked faces. But I don't think, but I think they have to review your art before they let you have a store in a lot of these markets. So I don't think I'd ever actually be allowed in, which is a shame. But
I wonder as
I
well,
think
like,
that.
because I imagine venue rules would affect you as well. Like, if you
Ooh.
had an independent market, but the venue didn't agree with the work which you were making.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know. I will look into it though. But yeah, there may well be that. But yeah, I do know there's a few alternative markets I would love to do. So yeah, that is definitely on my list, and obviously that then I can avoid all of the online rubbish. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where the future goes, though, with, like, the whole social media. I don't know, like, if just say, like, say 20 years from now, I wonder how things are going to change, and if there's going to be an easier way, or if it's going to get worse and worse, and more filtering. And but yeah,
Maybe it
we'll
isn't that
see.
far away. I noticed a lot of governments are putting in a lot of rules around online censorship, as I mean, as you mentioned, kind of potentially banning 16-year-olds from social media, which no one in social media will allow to happen, because that's their main
Oh,
spending.
absolutely,
But
yeah.
the changing landscape of it is moving so quickly that it's either going to have to be fully homogenized and fully like TV, where if you got banned from Facebook, you will get fined by the government, which is the same as TV. You post something offensive on TV, you can be fined by the government. And I think it's either going to have to go that way, or, like we were saying, they're going to have to make these spaces, because if they don't, the role of artists has always been to find other means and always find other ways of doing things. And they don't probably don't want that.
No, that
Not to
is
sound
true, but
threatening, but they
yeah.
probably don't want.
Do they actually care, or do they just care what's making them money, like the influencers?
This is probably kind of a mix, because I mean, you've always got to bring in new people, and new people really only come for the stuff they enjoy. So if you
That's
take
true.
everything alternative off Facebook,
True. Yeah.
alternative people won't go there. They'll go over to
Yeah.
whatever platform caters to them. And if they can't find one, they'll just stop going to those places, or they'll find their
Yeah,
own.
that is true, actually. I know, I've heard a lot of people are coming off of Facebook now. I know more and more people who's just leaving it because they just can't be asked. It's kind of, it's
Mine
boring to.
exists, I just don't use it.
Yeah, a lot of people are starting to do that. It's like the older generation. I mean, all the kids nowadays, it's all kind of like TikTok and Snapchat, which
Interesting one. Kids don't use Facebook, and it's not because they left, they never joined
no,
it.
yeah, exactly. I mean, Snapchat is something I will never join. I don't even know. I don't think that's even decent for artists. But I did try to do a few TikTok views. I mean, I've got a TikTok account, I just hate making videos. When something don't come naturally to you and you don't enjoy it, it's just like I can't really do much. I mean, I can do stuff with my art, but I just want to make it and present it. I don't want to then have to start creating videos for it. And I've posted a few videos, and you spend like an hour, a couple of hours editing it, and it's just really disheartening when it just gets a couple of views, and it's just like, what's the point? And then you get someone in a bikini jumping off of a mountain, like something ridiculous, and it's just like blown up. So it's just like, oh, what's the point?
I don't know why, but I feel like your work would do really well on OnlyFans. Just nothing but your parts on OnlyFans. There's a niche for
You're not the first person to say that, to
that.
be honest with you. It's me. Yeah, there's a few people who've said that before, but I feel like if I was to do that, I'd then probably have to kind of show like a video of me making it, but maybe in like in a sexy way, like of making the sculpture,
Just
like
post
some
it. I love the idea of using platforms for
pictures.
the thing they weren't intended. There's
Yeah.
just something really satisfying about the idea of, some like cooking network not having cooking shows at all, or
Yeah.
like OnlyFans just being artwork because we all got fed up with other platforms and we're
Yeah,
just like,
yeah. Yeah,
here's the
it
thing. You built
just leads
software
to
which
the other.
does the job I want. So
It could well be that way, to be honest with you, the way like things are going. That could be really, really funny. But yeah, no, I can imagine. So
moving
yeah,
on then.
we'll see, perhaps.
It's a challenge, but I think as artists we tend to rise to that challenge. It's always a sad thing to see when something changes, but like I said, I think we're inventive people and we tend to figure out a way around it, like we did way back when we made zines and got around newspapers, and then we made the internet
Yeah.
and then got around the internet, and we're gonna like I've formed a newsletter recently via
Oh, wow.
email. And I was
Oh,
like,
old school.
I didn't expect to have to do this, but nothing's getting shown to anyone. And
Yeah.
if you want a newsletter, we'll do a newsletter. And I was like, if I have
How
to
did
physically mail you letters, I will.
How did that go down in his letter?
It was surprisingly well. I got about 10, 15 subscribers, like to straight off the bat. And they're people who I regularly post to. My main concern was what highlighted to me was I did a product release in December for my calendar, which I make, which is full of depressed animals, if anyone doesn't know.
Oh, good.
And I'd posted that, and I think I'd done about a month's promotion of it. That say, this is coming, pre-order's going to happen. We'll do pre-order, and then we'll post it. And then I got a contact in January from someone who'd bought one previously, saying, "Oh, hey, when's the new calendar coming out?" And I was like, "You've not seen any of this. You follow me on at least three different platforms. You've not been able to get the thing you've signed up to see." So I was like, we'll go direct if we have to."
That's a good idea. Yeah, I feel like maybe people should will start going back to emails. I mean, that's actually a really good idea. I mean, I do have some subscribers. I've got like this MailChimp thing, and where like people can subscribe to email. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I think I worry about making myself sound not as interesting, like in a newsletter format. So not done anything like that before, but I think maybe that's the way to go, to be honest. Directly emailing people. I think, yeah. I mean, it's obviously worked for you, so be interesting to
We'll see how
see.
it goes. All 10 subscribers will get their regular. That'll keep me afloat for a few years.
Exactly. But yeah, you're right. I thought we'll figure it out. Like creatives are, creative minded as well. So yeah, problem solving.
So I
We'll
only
do it.
have a couple of questions left for you
Yeah.
as we round this out, and I think we already kind of covered this slightly before,
Yeah.
which is, so when you think of all this now and all the challenges you have doing art, getting into art, making things, and you think of yourself when you were a kid, is this what you saw yourself doing?
It's a really interesting question, actually. So I knew I was good at art as a kid, and I there is just like one defining moment which kind of I feel like it kind of shaped everything, like my thought process now as an adult. So there was a colouring competition, and I have my mum to thank for this. And I was just colouring. I'm not sure what I can't even remember what it was. It was just like some animal or something, and you know, like old school, and like newspapers and magazines or comics, and if you colour it, you send it off in the post, and then the winner, yeah. I don't even know if they do that anymore nowadays. But yeah, so I was colouring it in, and then my mum came into the room and she saw it, and she was like, "Oh, why don't you start doing lots of stars and spots and stripes around it?" And I was like, "No, mum, that's weird." She's like, "No, go on, just be different. You need to stand out." And so I started doing like around this animal, so it was kind of out of the lines, and I started like doing my own doodles all around it, like in the background, and lots of little hearts and tiny, like kind of like tiny little lots of different shapes and stuff, just random things. And I won, and I think like from that moment on, it was just like, oh, okay, so my mum was right, you have to kind of be different. I mean, I wasn't the best person to color things in or the best drawer in the world, but as long as it looks different from all the other ones, I could win. And then I started winning more and more competitions with that thought process. And it's almost as if, like, I kind of, as I was growing up, I just felt like, and it kind of stayed with me, like, even just, like, my style. Like, I hate, oh, my God, my worst fear is arriving to a party just wearing a black dress, the same black dress as all the other women who are wearing, like, a similar colour or dress, or just blending in. So now, like, the worst thing to happen to me is just being the same as everybody else, and I think that's just kind of gone into my art as well. But what I actually want, so I knew I was kind of wanted to do something creative, and then at a young age, and then I went to art college, and because I didn't, there was nothing that kind of stood out for me, I kind of lost my way a bit. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just wanted to, I don't know, to be honest, I wanted to do something creative because I knew I was good at it, but I feel like I didn't know exactly what. And I felt like I would have found that thing in college, and I didn't. So that's when I just went into like mainstream kind of jobs and admin jobs. There was a period that I wanted to kind of just be a children's TV presenter, which is kind of strange because I don't like kids. So that wouldn't have worked. Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's like,
hey, a lot of children's TV presenters don't.
I don't know. It's very strange. But I think what I actually wanted, I wanted that kind of, not admiration, that sounds really narcissistic, but just doing what people, like you to have some kind of, to be recognised for something maybe. Maybe that's what I was kind of after. And combined with my creativity and that, it was just like, yeah. So I think like what I'm doing now is just literally I found my thing. I mean, it's only taken me up to like 37 years old to realize like, okay, this is it now. But I mean, to be honest, I wish I would have discovered this slightly earlier. I mean, I don't regret it, obviously, you know, I'm glad I found, you know, my thing finally. But yeah, I don't know. There was nothing as a kid. I think, you know, even well into my adult, I still didn't even, I don't know, up until like when I just kind of fell into it, you know, fell, like, I still didn't even know what I wanted to do, which is, you know, as a woman of like 37 years, as a person who's like 37 years old, still not know what you actually want to do in life. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, I mean, even now it doesn't feel like a real job. Like some of the things I just get up to. But like, you know what, I'm having fun. I'm able to pay the bills with it, which is good. So I'll just take it. So, but yeah, I didn't know. So the answer is I didn't know. I just wanted something creative and be recognised for it, whatever that was. But I'm glad.
You fulfilled that.
Yeah, by accident. By accident during furlough. And I do wonder, like, if that didn't happen, and obviously it was an awful thing to happen, the pandemic, and, you know, it ruined so many people's lives, but it was the best thing that's kind of like, selfishly, it's like the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I don't know if I would have fallen into it if that didn't happen. Because I had so much free time. I was just like, you know, you just take a step back, like, what do I want to do? Or what do I want to try? And I don't think I would have. So yeah, it's just been crazy ever since.
Hopefully it continues to be crazy. Well, not too crazy.
Yeah, who knows?
Crazy in a good way.
Yeah.
Not crazy in a bad way. We could do without another pandemic if we can avoid it. Like...
Oh yeah, I don't want another one of them to realise where else I can go, then go. No, that's terrible. It was awful what happened. But but it does make you think, like, would I have ever discovered it? Like, it's a strange one.
Yeah, definitely.
No idea.
I think that's a good point to round this out. But you've kind of come full circle in a sense of you're doing essentially what you wanted to do, whether you intended to or not. And that's, you know, what more could anybody want from life?
Yeah.
So exactly. Round this out with my last question. which I've asked every guest, and it may put you on the spot, so prepare yourself.
Thanks.
Who should I talk to next?
Oh, so there's a few artists that I really love, Instagram people. I'm not sure if you've heard of That's Vile.
Maybe. I don't know.
Jason, so he makes like the craziest. If you look him up now, I think he's on Instagram. That's Dr. Vile,
Vile.
Vile.
I'll write it down, but yeah, that
Okay,
sounds familiar.
yeah. He
Yep.
makes. So when I first started doing this, I was looking up other strange, weird art for like inspiration. And he makes his stuff is like very risque. Like he makes all these textures and stuff, but really weird. And he's like. It's shock value that he must. I think he gets off in it as well, and he does the satanic flea market also. So I think you would absolutely love his work. He's so controversial and it's great, and he's always getting banned as well. So we've got that kind of we can relate to each other. There's a lady called Amy, but I felt Kish Kitch. Sorry, so I the letter I FELT. And KITSCH. Her work is amazing. So she's a felt artist and she uses like dolls' heads and Barbie heads. And she's her work's so original. And she kind of like felts in like these kind of strange bodies and they have bodies of dinosaurs and weird worms and stuff. And she's done so well for herself. And as soon as she does a sculpture, it kind of sells out immediately. And that's like that is business goals. I'd love to get where she is. And she and yeah, she's a really nice girl actually as well. So all these people who I love that are, I really love them as a person. They're really decent people as well, which I quite like. So yeah, she's another one. Oh, there's a few more which my mind has gone blank. I want to just kind of like I'll have to email you after, but there's a few more artists which you should definitely speak to. But yeah, they're the two that pops into my head at the moment.
I'll reach out to them.
Please do. They'd probably love to talk about their stuff. But yeah.
I've been asking everybody because I like the idea of this podcast. Obviously, it's very relaxed, but I like it, the idea of it kind of being like a chain letter of similarly minded people willing to sit and have a chat. So, always ask the
Yeah.
guest.
Yeah, and I think like probably I imagine most artists would like to chat about their work, or do you find that if you approach some of them like you don't want
I
to?
find it's mixed, because
Okay.
there's a lot, I think. There's the two sides of it. Of the artists, obviously, we love to talk about what we do. We love to talk about how we do. But on the other side, because art is used as a coping mechanism for a lot of people to express themselves, a lot of people don't want to come and talk because it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of anxiety for a lot of people. And I've never been in a position where I've had to really beg someone because people do want to come and chat. And I always think of it as I'd rather have someone who's willing to take a risk, willing to come chat, than someone who does not want to be here and does not want to be chatting to me. And it's
Absolutely.
your comfort zone. I'm asking for your time for free. So why not?
True. True, true. Yeah,
It's
no.
definitely, yeah. Sorry, you're saying?
Great. Great. Oh,
You were going
sorry.
to say
What was
something.
that?
I thought you were saying something and I interrupted you.
Oh,
Apologies.
no. Sorry. No. I was just like nodding my head enthusiastically.
No, it's been lovely to talk to you, Sarah. I will
Oh,
check them
thank
out.
you. Likewise. It's been really fun.
And
Thank you
obviously,
very
I will
much.
post links for everyone to come check out your stuff and share your stuff so it
Amazing.
doesn't get you banned again. And
That would be great. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
problem is, this will hit YouTube and then YouTube will ban me and all.
Oh yeah, that's true. I think that's the thing. I think a lot of people are probably too scared to share some of my work in case they get pulled up on it themselves. Like it's really hit or miss. But I think I'm onto
We
their
live and learn.
radar now. Yeah, true.
All
Lovely.
right. I think we can round this
Oh,
up.
yeah,
Thank you for
thank you
coming to
so
chat to
much,
me.
Greg. It's really good.
We'll talk to these guys later.
Yeah.